Welcome to Grant. You're listening to Off the Wall on Swimming World Radio. Here are your hosts, Nathan and Felipe.
Welcome back, one and all, to Off the Wall on Swimming World Radio. I'm your host, Nathan Jendrick, joined, of course, by Felipe Delgado. Felipe, lots going on in the swimming world. As always, we talk about how there tends to be a lull after the Olympics, but fortunately, there is never a lack of things for you and I to talk about. But the biggest news, of course, over the last couple of weeks, the sad news that I got an email that I'm not being considered for the head coaching job at Stanford. No, I'm kidding. So you had a trip to Ecuador lately, my friend. How did that go?
It was great. It was great. That's, you know, I go back every now and again. I have a little bit of business that I do over there of the legal kind, which is a good thing, good for the peace of mind.
Yeah, you talk about Ecuador, yeah. You talk about Felipe, and suddenly all these bad images come
That's
to
right.
mind.
That's right. No, in this case, no, everything's on the up and up. We have a little bit of a swim connection going on in my country, and everything I can do to help. I go down there every now and again, and I do a little bit of work down there as far as for swimming and for our, you know, import company, which is importing aquatic apparel into South America. So that's fun. And, you know, outside of that, it was a quick trip, and I'm back, and I'm happy to be back and just getting over the jet lag.
Do you get a hero's welcome? I mean, you know, Olympian and all, do they welcome you with like banners and red carpet and all that?
That used to be the case until my cousin became president of the country. Then everybody forgot that I existed. Here's a story. Rafael Correa, who's current president of Ecuador, he's my first cousin. His mom is my dad's sister. So it's not like I'm name-dropping because he is family. But once
– Well, you're just name-dropping family, and that's okay.
Name-dropping family, yeah. So once he became president of Ecuador, people don't even realize I exist anymore. So, you know, I can walk the insecure streets of Ecuador without a problem. And the only people that recognize me are the people who maybe want to, you know, take my wallet or my cell phone or something.
Did you have to worry about that a lot in Ecuador?
No, you don't. I'm exaggerating. You don't have to worry about that too much. But, you know, like anything else, you have to be aware of your surroundings.
I was going to say, you don't want your cousin to be giving you a call now and say, hey, look, you're trashing my country here. You're costing us tourism dollars. You know, we don't want that.
Oh, no. Not at all. Not at all. It's actually, he's done an unbelievable job of being he's done an unbelievable job of making sure that security is of utmost importance. And as you know, we have the Galapagos Islands that we have to worry about, and such a beautiful natural preserve. And that is what dominates the travel and tourism in our country. So no, Ecuador is very safe. It's a safe country. It's so biodiverse that it's unbelievable how small and how diverse that country is. And the fact that we've got our Galapagos Islands, it's pretty much like having Hawaii off the California coast. A lot of fun.
All right. And so what you're saying is, so when we all go to Ecuador, name drop Felipe Delgado because his cousin is present. All right. Good. So in other news,
and not because I swam, because that doesn't matter anymore.
Well, we don't care about that.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You were in the Olympics. Congratulations. Your cousin's president. Right on.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So anyway, every week on the show, we tend to talk about a little bit about how swimming's transcending just the sport and breaking out and getting some exposure, whether it be good or bad. And now, over the last week, we have something that hit ESPN and MSN and all the stuff, and it's about golf. And you probably know where I'm going with this. Michael Phelps dropped I don't even like golf. But it was one of the most ridiculous putts I've ever seen in my life. It was the Dunhill Links Pro-Am, and he nailed, I think it was like a 160-foot putt. I mean, that thing just went and went and went. Now, that's good news. We talk about, you know, people being on or being made fun of on SNL or other shows and how that's not necessarily good publicity. But Phelps showing he's not just a one-trick pony. He can win all those Olympic medals. And the guy can golf. That's pretty good exposure, right, Felipe?
It's great exposure. 150-foot eagle.
Yeah, dropped it for eagle. Yeah,
that's unbelievable. I mean, is it luck of the draw, or is it how great he is at multiple sports? But I did see in some of the Twitter sphere and Facebook, I did see that people are afraid that we're gonna really lose him now. I mean, people still have that hope that he may come back in a couple of years and try for 2016. But with that eagle putt, people are afraid now that we're going to lose him to the world of golf. And you never know. I mean, maybe he is as good at other sports as he is at swimming. Who knows?
Well, I don't know. I don't really think that we're going to see him back in 2016, whether the guy can golf, play basketball, punt a football, or whatever. I don't think we're going to see him back if he just sat on the couch and played video games for the next years. But let's look at this putt. And again, I don't know much about golf, but I'm pretty sure that for the rest of his life, he'll never make another one of those. I mean, you can give him a bucket of balls, I don't think he'd ever make another one from that distance, from that angle, from the drops and turns that ball had to take. But at the same time, I don't think Tiger Woods would make it twice. So
that's correct. I mean, I think the mark of a true champion is consistency, right? And being consistently good. So nobody expects him to make that 150-foot eagle putt again, but they're going to expect him to make that 15 or 20 foot, birdie putt or par or whatever it is, and do it consistently. And that's where you separate yourself from the pack.
Yeah, and I think he'll be able to do that. I think obviously he's showing promise. He would have never been able to make that miracle putt once if he didn't have talent at the game. I'm just saying, while I would never make one of those in my lifetime, he made one. It's got great exposure, but I don't think he'll do it again. Now, is it going to be talked about for a while? Sure, particularly because he's a guy with, you know, so many Olympic gold medals and the greatest Olympian of all time. But I don't think we're going to lose him to golf because of that one putt. I think we've already lost him from swimming for reasons that have nothing to do with golf. But when it comes down to a feel-good story about a swimmer that does give swimming some recognition, hey, him dropping a putt like that, that just pretty darn impressive.
It, to this point, it's been the most impressive thing any swimmer has done post-Olympics.
Right.
everything else left a little bit to be desired, but I think this is the most impressive thing that he's done. Listen.
Yeah.
I still hold out. Michael Phelps is a competitor no matter what way you look at it. He's going to be looking at times. He's going to look at when there's a big meet that comes around, he's going to look at those times and say, I can do that. And then it'll get to the point where he'll say, I can still do that.
Yeah,
and that's where that balance comes. Whether do I do this or do I just stay put? And a lot of times with these competitors, a lot of times they dive right back in. I mean, you know, we have so many examples, you know, to go back on. And just in the last few years, you have Roger Clemens. How old is Roger Clemens? 50.
Was he like 75 now, 80? I don't know.
Just come back and pitch a masterful game in the minors?
Well, that's because human growth hormone's apparently a hell of a drug. Oh, did I say that? Oh, never mind.
you got Roger Clemens. You've got, you know, guys who just can't stay away. You've got Brett Favre. You got, okay, I'm going to say that Lance Armstrong, no comments, please. You have just guys who were great during their prime. And in their mind, they're still in their prime, and they say, other people's, you know, skills deteriorate, but not mine. So let's see what happens with Michael. You know, Michael, the difference between Michael Phelps and these other athletes is that Michael Phelps isn't 40.
He's still young. If he wants to make a go at this golf thing, he's got plenty of time to do it, particularly that golfers, I mean, we're looking, there's great golfers out there in their 50s. I mean, he's not even halfway there yet if he wants to pursue golf.
Come on. He can work out in the morning. He can swim in the morning. He can play golf all day. All he has to do is swim once a day. You know, he can drop that load down to once a day.
5 days a week.
5 days a week. No Saturdays. No Saturday or Sunday.
Monday. No, weekends definitely out of the question.
Monday through Friday. Now, let's not – I don't want him to wake up too early. So I say Monday through Friday, 9 to noon.
That's all 3 hour workouts. That might be a little much.
No, hold on now. 9 to noon, and that includes dryland.
Okay.
That includes dryland, and dryland's only a couple days a week. So the other days it's really only 9 to 11, and then from there, hey, you're on the driving range by 12:30.
I like it.
Yep.
I mean, he can just move to one of those, you know, fancy places on a golf course that also has a pool in the clubhouse, and he can just do it all from basically his neighborhood.
I've got a place in Ecuador that could do that for him.
And you know the president that might be able to hook him up.
I've got connections, man. I've got connections. I could put that guy on a world-famous golf course. I could put him in a big club. I can give him a pool overlooking the Andes Mountains. Oh, I've got it. I've got it. So I'll contact him.
All right. So Phelps representatives, if you're listening to this, just know you have a hookup from a guy who knows the president of Ecuador. You know, you don't need to spend any of your multi-millions to make your facility needs happen. You have Felipe Delgado in your pocket. You're good to go. I like it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, on another outside swimming news, there's rumors that Ryan Lochte may show up on Saturday Night Live. So we have to ask ourselves, spoofing him apparently was perceived negatively. How do you think it would turn out if Lochte actually ends up on SNL himself?
I think it would be great. I think it would be great. It shows character, too, because, I mean, some people would shy away from that because of how they characterize him on the spoof that they did. I think it would be fun, and I think if he played up to that persona, I think it would be great. I think it'd be good for him. It'd be great for the sport. And
So you're saying if he goes out there and plays the person that Seth MacFarlane tried to tease him about, that would be good?
I think he's got to get on set with Seth MacFarlane. I think that would be fun. You know, you want me to write this up for you?
That could be interesting. Hey, you can pitch it, man. You can start being a writer for SNL. I'm okay with that. You know the president of Ecuador. I mean, come on. Why would they hire you?
I'm the cousin of the president of Ecuador. I don't have time for this stuff.
Exactly.
It's too important for this stuff. Okay, I can give you the idea, but you've got to create it. I can only, what is it? I can show you the path, but I'm not going to lead you down it, okay?
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I think it'd be interesting. I mean, I think Ryan could certainly tackle some stereotypes by going on the show. I don't know that it would necessarily do much for him, and it wouldn't be groundbreaking for a swimmer, given that we've had Michael on SNL. But I think it would be good. Anytime you can get an athlete from the sport onto a big production like that, I think it would be good. And if nothing else, it gives Ryan the opportunity to show his side if he doesn't feel it was a fair characterization. But, I mean, let's remember, Ryan wasn't one of the people that was complaining about how they characterized him. He said it was harsh, but he thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Whether he did or not, really, it doesn't matter. He came out and he was a good sport about it. So I don't know that it's that big of a deal anymore, particularly because people have such a short memory that I'm sure the average SNL viewer is probably like, wait, Ryan Lochte, yeah, I know that name and face. What's he do again?
Yep. Keep him in front of the cameras. Keep him in front of large audiences, because, you know, ultimately people start to forget his name. They start to forget what he did. I mean, the longer we keep him in front, the better it is for the sport, no matter what it's for. At least it gives Ryan an opportunity to go on Saturday Night Live and respond to what Seth did, which I think is great. You know, it gives him that opportunity. You know, we're headed to 6 months post-Olympics, and we're still talking Ryan Lochte. We're still keeping Michael Phelps on ESPN doing his crazy thing in golf. So good things. I just wish we had some of our other top level athletes. I was looking over medal counts yesterday. Where's Allison Schmidt? You know, where's some of the other girls, you know, Rebecca Soni and some of the other swimmers who did unbelievable things. Tyler Cleary, who did unbelievable things at the Olympics. I wish they would get a little bit more exposure, but take what you can get.
Yeah, now you talk about Tyler Cleary, and here's something that we didn't have on the docket to talk about on the show, but you bring it up, so I think we should go for it.
Sure.
Tyler Cleary got so much negative press for what he said about Michael Phelps. Then he goes to the Olympics, wins individual gold. I don't think he got as much credit as he deserved for that, simply because every time I read about him, they always linked to prior articles about what he said about Michael Phelps. And the problem is, as long as Michael's in the media and Michael stays known as the greatest Olympian of all time, which will be that way for at least our lifetimes, Do you think Tyler Cleary's ever going to be able to break that mold? Because when you say something about someone as well-known who has transcended the sport, when somebody who's an Olympic icon like Michael Phelps, and you have somebody with 22 gold medals or such a medal haul, and you have one individual gold medal, as amazing of an accomplishment as that is, do you think that it's possible that he will ever be able to break away from the things that he said? Because I don't think he will.
Nope.
I think it's unfair, but I don't think that he can ever get away from that now. Sure. And I think it's going to cost him not just in the measure of good grace from people, but it's going to cost him financially too when it comes down to trying to get deals.
God, it would have been like, oh my God. You can relate it to Scottie Pippen not making fun of, but questioning Michael Jordan's work ethic. I mean, if Scottie Pippen or any of the other Bulls, or let's say any of the Lakers or anybody else from another team were to question Michael Jordan's work ethic, potential marketers or potential sponsorships would have been running the other direction. You just don't do that to the marquee athlete in your sport. The sport is just starting to surge. It's just starting to get up to a level of being in the conversation, and of course not with the big sports, but at least being in the conversation with a tennis or some of the other second or third ring sports in the United States. You don't go out and try to knock the marquee athlete of your sport. You go out and support and create and enhance the athlete in the face of your sport. So unfortunately, I think it's going to be a lesson learned, and I think it's a little bit too late to take it back. So even though what he did, and you and I both know, Nathan, you being a coach and all, we both know what type of an accomplishment that was. I mean, it's unbelievable what he did and being able to win his event. But I just think, he put his foot in his mouth and it's going to cost him.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. You get somebody who's such an amazing talent, and he's doing what we – As a media, as a culture, we encourage people to speak their mind. And it's great because, it makes for things to write about. It makes people personable. But the problem is, it's not like the NFL. If Peyton Manning were to come out and say, or better yet, if a player on the Denver Broncos were to come out and say, well, Peyton Manning doesn't work hard, or Peyton Manning this, Peyton Manning that, they're going to get nailed. And they're going to say, well, who are you? You might be making $5 million, but who are you to talk about Peyton Manning, a surefire Hall of Famer, somebody who's making hundreds of millions playing sports? He's on every endorsement you can find. He's on commercials all the time. Great person. His family is well-known. Archie Manning is so well-known and respected. His brother's playing football at the highest level. He's been out here for over a decade amongst the best. I mean – who are you to talk about Peyton Manning? Now, that would go for a couple weeks, and we'd never hear about the guy again. He'd still be playing, still banking millions, but we'd never hear about him again. No matter how good he did, it wouldn't matter.
Right.
But to him, maybe he got a little negative press, but he's still making $5 million a year.
Right.
Whatever he's making, $1 million, it doesn't matter.
You can't make a mistake.
Ton of money.
You can't make a mistake like that in this sport.
Right. In swimming, you don't get that opportunity because you're not making millions of dollars. You need every opportunity that you can to make money. And if you lose one deal because you're known as a guy who said something negative about someone, that could literally alter the course of your career because you can't afford to swim. And there's plenty of gold medalists individual gold, who a year or two after the Olympics aren't making any money. I mean, it's just the way it is. You can win an individual gold medal, and maybe you get some medal money. If you have a sponsor, you might get some bonus money. But a year later, when that Olympic patina has worn off, you are scraping, and your agent and your people are scraping to just make you enough money to continue competing. I mean, I know how this works, and it's unfortunate. But when you add to that already the difficulty of finding money as an individual Olympic gold medalist, as an amazing accomplishment as that, if you add just one little piece of difficulty, it could be insurmountable. And unfortunately, saying negative things, whether you honestly believe them or not, about the greatest Olympian of all time, that's not working financially for you. And it's unfortunate. It shouldn't be that way. People should be free to speak their minds. But again, it's kind of that whole that track and field athlete, Lolo Jones. She got a lot of flack from people because she wasn't even the best person at her event for her country, and yet she was getting so many more endorsement deals and making so much more money. Well, that comes down to her being marketable.
Okay.
Unfortunately,
let's go back.
You can't be marketable if you're talking trash about somebody everybody loves.
Okay. And what place did Lolo Jones get at the Olympics?
And do you think that mattered to her bank account?
Absolutely.
I guarantee you, she's still making more than her teammate.
Absolutely not. It didn't matter. She makes more than Sonia Richards-Ross, I bet you any money, and Sonia Richards-Ross wouldn't have got gold medal. Allyson Felix, maybe not, because Allyson Felix is very attractive. So the fact that Allyson Felix could go and get 3 gold medals, you know, she's attractive, that's a stellar combination. The fact that Lolo Jones looks the way she does, we live in a society where a lot of times what's on the outside matters more than what's on the inside. And the fact that she got third or fourth, I think Lolo Jones ended up getting fourth, if I'm not mistaken, at the Olympic Games. That didn't touch her bank account. Can we say the same about Tyler Cleary? No.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it comes down to. And it's unfortunate. It really, really is, because as much as we encourage people to speak their mind, and it got a lot of press, made swimming sound like it mattered, even if it was for a little bit of what you could call internal strife, it's good stuff. Unfortunately, you have to feel bad for these athletes because, you know, if he loses one deal that might have been the make or break to keep him going for another season, we might, as fans, be missing out on a lot of great performances. It might have prevented that stroke, his, you know, 200 backstroke, from going to the next level when it did, and it's unfortunate, but it's just the way the game goes. And I guess at that point it comes down to thinking with a bit more of a professional mind rather than an honest mind, because, you know, if he had just said in response to how was the training with Michael Phelps, "Oh, it was fantastic, great learning experience, he's a great guy, it really pushed me, I hope I pushed him."
Anytime you get to train with quite possibly the best athlete in our sport, in our history of our sport, it's an honor to be able to train with him, you know.
Exactly. And you know what, that I got 2 paragraphs, and now Tyler Cleary would be, you know, praised as an individual Olympic gold medalist who got to train with the greatest Olympian of all time. Now he's known as, here's an individual gold medalist who, you know, talked crap about Michael Phelps.
Yep.
It's unfortunate. It's not fair, but it's the way it is.
Yep. So
anyway, moving forward from there, we got a few smaller topics to discuss today, one of which I thought was interesting. Dennis Pursley is now at the University of Alabama,
yep,
his new head coach. And Felipe, obviously you and I being coaches, we follow where coaches go and things like that. They had a meet. I think their first meet was against Delta State. But it's interesting to me, this concept of him coming back to the collegiate level, because he just came off of 4 years working as the national team head coach for Britain. And before that, he was obviously at the helm of USA Swimming. And you know, prior to that, many decades ago, he had actually been an assistant coach at Alabama. But I find it interesting that you can go from helming two huge swimming countries down to back down to just one team. And I find that an interesting transition, because, Felipe, I don't think that's a transition that I personally could make. I think once I were in charge of such a broad scope of aspects and an entire national team, I think I'd like to stay there.
Yeah, well, it's sometimes you don't have that choice. Sometimes those choices are made for you. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, as I think you and I discussed, or I could be wrong, but Dennis Pursley is from Alabama, or went to Alabama, or something like that.
As it was previously, he was an assistant coach at Alabama back in, I think it was the 70s.
Okay, so he was an assistant coach. So maybe he's going home. Maybe he's going to something that he feels comfortable with. And maybe, you know, the scope of things, that might be him downsizing, you know, downsizing his career. So maybe he's doing that. Maybe he's doing it for personal reasons. But, you know, he's been around the block. I mean, he's done everything you possibly can do from a director standpoint in swimming. So this might have been just a decision that was a personal decision for himself and his family, to kind of wind things down a little bit or step back a little bit and give himself more time.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think it's good for him. If that's what he wants to do, good for him. And obviously that was a choice that he certainly would have thought through and wanted to make. And I think it's fantastic. And it's definitely a great thing for Alabama swimming. Just an interesting concept, you know, to go from an assistant coach, work your way up through the ranks, reach what I guess you could say as a coach is the pinnacle of success when you're now helming a national team and you were sought after to go to another country to do the same thing. And then to bring it back, I mean, I kind of like it, you know, going back to his roots and going back something that he thought was more comfortable. You know, good for him. Just a very, I thought, notable change that certainly worth bringing up. And for our listeners who didn't catch that article, I know it was covered on swimworldmagazine.com, but for those who didn't read that, definitely interesting to follow where guys like Persley go who are so accomplished, and now you're going to see them back poolside on a Division One pool deck. So very good stuff there, particularly, again, for Alabama. Now we'll move on to discussing a bit of a more broad topic. We'll move into the FINA World Cup Series, which there's a lot of ways, a lot of things we can talk about with this. But first off, somebody's making money, and her name's Katinka Hasu. She is at the where we're at now. I think she's made almost $25,000. So she's making some pretty good money. On the first two stops, made $11,000 each. Not bad at all. But my question, Felipe, is why in the world does the number one swimming nation not have a World Cup stop? What is the problem with this picture?
Might be politics. I mean, if the United States wanted to have one, they could. I mean, they did have New York a few years back.
Yeah, and what happened to that? I mean, I thought it was great.
It might be just politics. It might also be the Grand Prix Series. The Grand Prix Series may have taken over, and the U.S. wants to separate themselves from what goes on with the World Cups versus the Grand Prix. They might want to say, hey, we have the Grand Prix. You guys can keep the World Cup. You know, the world can keep the World Cup. I still think as much as how important these meets are and being able to go to Dubai and Doha and some of the other countries, I think their next stop is Russia. But it's as important, the monetary, the compensation, I just still don't think it's there. I think that we could do so much better in compensating our athletes. You know, Katinka's done some pretty amazing things in the last couple of meets, and she's walked away with $25,000. Mind you, $25,000 is nothing to complain about. But if you are able to compare it to some of the other sports, let's say tennis, for instance, what does somebody who wins a tennis tournament, a big tennis tournament, what do they walk away with? You know, they're walking away with hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. A guy that went to a local high school in our area here, he just won a PGA event, first place, $880,000.
Has our sport not come as – I mean, can we say that our sport has not come as far as being able to earn an eighth or a sixteenth of what these people earn? If they go to a PGA Tour, $800,000, okay, great. You know what? I'm never going to take that away from them because I'm not one that believes that you take away from one to give to another. I don't think so. I think you applaud one and try to emulate what they're doing. They're making $800,000. You know, the women's tennis circuit, they're making $800 million. The men's golf or men's tennis is making $1 million per stop. I'm not saying we're there, okay? But what I am saying is why not treat these like individual stops, like pretty much like the PGA does with their tournaments or like the professional tennis circuit, like they do when they have, you know, they have the U.S. Open, and they have Australian Open, they have all of their big tournaments. And why not treat them as individuals and have the country, if you want to host one of these, well, these swimmers are not going to come for peanuts. And that's how we're treating our swimmers right now. They're going for peanuts. And I apologize if I'm offending anyone, but this is something that I've had strong feelings towards for a long time. Why is it that our athletes travel these unbelievable distances to go and to put on a show? And you're talking about the best athletes in the world at the sport, at swimming. They're traveling these distances, and their compensation is minimal in comparison to other sports. Because, you know, not only does first place, you know, in some of these other sports, not only do they get compensated, but there's compensation all the way down the line. you know, there's appearance fees, there's everything else. And I understand swimming is an individual sport where it comes to, okay, there's, you know, X amount of events. In tennis, there's just one event, there's one winner. In swimming, there's multiple winners. I understand that. But from a compensation standpoint, it has to improve, even if you have to do it on a point system or who got closest to the world record, or that might be a way of doing it. What athletes who won their individual events got closest to the world records, and that's how you rank them, and that's how they get compensated. But the fact that you say, and sorry if it touched a nerve, but the fact that you say that she's gone and she's made a little bit of money, which you're right, $25,000, again, it's nothing to complain about, but $25,000 over two stops, that just it just does not seem like a lot of money, especially if she's putting money into traveling to these meets.
Well, certainly, and there's always going to be expense, but the thing is we have to build to that, and the problem is it's the format that we have to compensate our best athletes is awful, and we've talked about that since the inception of this show. I mean, it's something we've agreed upon, which, although those things tend to be kind of few and far between, we do agree upon that our swimmers don't make enough money. But the problem is you have to show value. Going back to the same thing we talked about with Tyler Cleary. You know, Tyler Cleary has this, you can almost call it a stain now, because he did something that was not popular in the media in what he said about Michael Phelps. Lolo Jones, not the greatest athlete in her event, not even the greatest athlete in her event in her country, but she's marketable. And that's why she's making a lot more money than people who are better than her. It comes back to swimming. We have to show sponsors that these athletes are worth money and they draw things in. And that's where my problem is with the U.S. not having a World Cup stop. Yes, we have the Grand Prix. That's wonderful and fine and fabulous. The problem is, though, we need more meets. And what we have right now, there are very few opportunities for athletes to compete and make money. So even though $25,000 for one athlete, yeah, it's not a ton of money, but for swimming, it's good money in two meets. And these are meets that athletes are often going to go to anyway, just to get the racing experience to warm up for the bigger meets later in the year. So having the opportunity to make, you know, peanuts compared to other sports is still better than nothing. But when we don't even have a World Cup stop here in the U.S., the number one swimming country in the world, how are we supposed to show sponsors that, hey, you're going to get a crowd, you're going to get people seeing your logo, you're going to get people taking samples of your product, you're going to get people that are going to increase your brand awareness? We can't do that if we don't have the meet.
Right.
So while it's not adequate yet, and nobody's going to make a living off going to World Cup meets, you know, except for the one person who wins the overall and can live a year or two off of that prize money, but it's a start. And that's my issue. We need to take the meets that we can that are a part of something bigger. You know, individual meets. One meet that I talk about all the time that I absolutely love is the Chesapeake Pro-Am, formerly known as the Kerr McGee Elite Meet, down in Oklahoma City every year. It's every year in December. It's a prize money meet. They can't pay a ton per event, but they pay money that's good for athletes who can make it there. They treat their athletes phenomenally well, and I've encouraged people for years to go to this meet. I think I first went to this meet, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, and we've made lots of stops there since. And it's phenomenal. I cannot say enough good things about it. But they get local sponsors. They get who they can. They show them value. And the people who put money behind this, they realize they're getting something out of this because the meet is there. Now, it's the same thing with the World Cup. Let's get a meet here. It's part of something bigger. It's not a one-off. Let's show sponsors, hey, this is worth putting money behind. And the advantage that you have with something like the World Cup is that it's international in scope. Sponsors can realize, okay, this is something that if it works here, we have a multinational company, it would also work for swimming in other parts of the world. Well, let's just stick with this World Cup thing because we know it works. But the problem is, if, like you say, it's politics that are keeping it from coming here, well, then it's politicians, as politicians tend to do, that's screwing everybody.
Well,
because,
you know, Nathan, you're absolutely right, and it just makes sense. You know, and who's keeping the title sponsors away from swimming? I think a lot of it is politically driven. You know, you don't want to take swimming to the next level because you're afraid you're going to lose control and the athletes will get more control than what you have. But for God's sake, you're doing more harm than good. You need to step down. You need to go away because times are changing. This sport has an opportunity. It had an opportunity. It's had an opportunity for the last 12 years, and we have not capitalized on it the way we should have. You put a lot of this pressure on the individual athletes. It's not them, because the individual athlete cannot do much if politically the sport's being held down by the old guard. The old guard has to go. The old guard has to go, and a new, fresh thoughts and ideas have to come in, because this sport has been stuck at this level for too long. And while we've had our marquee athletes, you know, they have not been able to transcend, and the sport has not been able to transcend because of the old guard. The old guard needs to go. And when you do that, you will have fresh ideas, you'll have new individuals, you'll have younger individuals take over, and you will see how marketing dollars will be fueled into the sport, and that money will not concentrate at the top 1%. Because as much as we've spoken about that, and I don't want to get too political, but as much as we speak about that in life and in politics, speak about it even louder in the sport that you love, because it happens in this sport. While people are getting compensated, for God's sake, why does the director of United States Swimming have to make well into the six figures when their athletes, the athletes that he or he represents, are making peanuts?
You say well into the six figures. We're talking closer to seven figures than we are to the to the midpoint of six.
Come on, that's a tragedy. When our athletes, and I know a few of these athletes, I'm very good friends with. I know how much they make. They share that. It's open source. It's open information. They'll share that with you. When you're telling a world class athlete to live on $1,200 a month, that's an insult. That's an insult, you know, when you're living on close to $75,000, $80,000 a month and you're asking an athlete to live on the athletes represent you and make you who you are, you're insulting the sport, you're insulting the athletes, and that has to change. The money's concentrated in the top 1%, and until that barrier is broken, this sport will stay the same. It's sad. I look at the U.S. Open of tennis. And I, probably like most athletes, will watch that and say, wow, J.P. Morgan Chase, Rolex, Mercedes, what? Why aren't they in our sport? Like, what's keeping them from being title sponsors in our sport?
All about perceived value, and that's the thing, is we can't show sponsors value if meets are being locked up or politically held captive, so to speak, and we just have to put it out there. And we have to put our best foot forward with the opportunities that we're given and show people, hey, there's value to being involved with a sport like swimming. I think it would be naive to say it's a sport that can be thrown out there as, oh, the most wholesome sport and great and wonderful. We can't say that, particularly in light of scandals that are happening recently. They're getting a bad rap. But at the same time, when you're getting a bad rap by the media, you want to show that, hey, that's not indicative of the sport as a whole, and you need to start doing some good things. So this will be a great time to start showing swimming in a more positive light and being more proactive and, again, showing value. Now, before we run low on time, that leads us into our next topic. And this is a very unique thing going on that all is, again, all about swimmers trying to make it. And you talk about the tragedy of how little athletes are making. Well, I don't want to say it's certainly not begging, but athletes have to get creative. And there's one swimmer in particular who has gotten very creative with how he's raising money to support himself to compete on said World Cup tour. And that's Anthony Irvin. Now, let's keep in mind, Anthony Irvin is a two-time U.S. Olympian. He is an Olympic gold medalist, and he needs to raise money to go on the World Cup tour. He was on the 2012 Olympic team, and yet he needs to raise money just to go and compete. Now, I think that alone will tell you that our greatest athletes aren't making nearly enough.
It's sickening.
From their sport.
It's sickening to think about.
Yeah, but before we talk about that, I just want to talk about, this is a really neat idea that Anthony came up with. And I like it a lot. Again, I don't think I think it's sad that it has to happen, but I think for fans of swimming and fans of Anthony, this is a really unique and neat idea. Now, Anthony came up with his profile on a site called Indiegogo, and you can find it at it's Indiegogo, that's I-N-D-I-E, gogo.com/AnthonyIrvin2012. And he's trying to raise $10,000 to pay his way for the World Cup Tour. Now, he set it up where if you give things like $5, he will send you a sticker. And then it goes up from there. $20, and he will send you a postcard from somewhere on the World Cup Tour. For, I think, what was it? It's like $30, $25, something like that. A t-shirt that he designed himself, and it goes up from there. You can get a phone call from Anthony Irvin. You can have him write a song for you. He's even offering private lessons. I think like $2,500, you can have your own private lesson in North America from Anthony Irvin. Now, interesting idea. But, again, the fact that he has to do all this as an Olympic gold medalist, recent Olympian, just goes to show you how much more involved we need the governing body and other people responsible for the corporate part of swimming to get involved so athletes like Anthony don't have to do this. But, Felipe, from a purely just feel-good standpoint, I got to say, I think it's really, really intriguing and very, I guess you can even say cool, that Anthony came up with such a creative way to fund his trip to the World Cup.
How's Anthony done in the World Cup?
He's been kicking butt.
Has he won anything?
Oh, I think he might have. One of those little splash and dashes he might have done.
He might have won a couple of those 50 freestyles, maybe some silver medals in the hundreds. And he's practically out there having to get as creative as he can to just make it, right? But yep. Guess who's patting themselves on the back?
Yep.
USA Swimming. That's our athlete, Anthony Irvin. Look at him. With our support, he's wearing the red, white, and blue. And he's leaving our country at the highest level. You know, he's leading us to these World Cup titles. Continue to pat yourself on the back while this kid is out there doing what he can to get there, because you're not willing to help him out. I mean, you know, our members.
Well, don't forget, he will get their national team stipend now, which I think is like, you know, what is that? If you sign on for the higher version, what is it, like $3,000 a month or something like that?
Is he getting that?
Yeah, I think, the Olympic team will get that at least through, I think, whenever the next selection meet is. So, I mean, that might pay for his, you know, ticket to Doha, Qatar, I'm sure, you know.
Sure,
probably
but, then,
about the same.
But then, unfortunately, you can't pay his mortgage.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, you could always live, well, you know, the beaches are nice in Hawaii, I think, you know.
You know, hey, look, Anthony, I'll support him. I'll get on his site right now and support him. I'll get on his site right now. And, you know, I know that Imagine Swim School, Casey Barrett, Lars Merzberg out in New York are doing what they can to support him. I know they financially, they have foot the bill for a lot of what he's done. And you know what? They're getting it back tenfold. You know, every time I see Anthony in a picture, he's got his Imagine Swimming shirt on. So,
he has a video, in fact, on his Indiegogo site where he's raising money, and he plays a little tune with his guitar, if I remember right. And I'm pretty sure he's got an Imagine Swimming shirt on in his video.
That's correct. He does. So, you know, good for Casey. Good for Lars. You know, they're supporting Anthony, and they're making it a little bit easier for him to get to these meets. They made it easier for him to get to the Olympics, where he didn't have to worry about much of anything else to. Then. But you know what? I talked to Casey. I talked to him at the Olympic trials, and he feels that for ex-swimmers who are in the position where they can help current swimmers, so that current swimmers don't have to go through what we went through, and I know that sounds like mom and dad talking, right? But so that current swimmers don't have to go through what we – because swimming has transcended. For God's sake, if Michael Phelps couldn't do it, let's just wrap it up and put it away because it's never going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So – we should be in the position now. We should be in the position now where we can, where we can say, hey, our athletes are getting to these meets, and they're getting taken care of. You know, our athletes are getting to these meets, and every time they win, man, they're making some money. You know, but we're not there yet, and that's so unfortunate that we're not, because, you know, as much as we do have great stories in this sport, and Anthony Irvin's one of them, the compensation is just not there yet. And I think myself included, because I'm going to take it upon myself to do something about it. I am going to take it upon myself to do something about it. I've already started. So I am going to take it upon myself to do something about it. And I am going to be taking it upon myself to sponsor some of these athletes and make sure that at least from where I can do, I'm helping as much as I can. I will do that. You got my word on that. And I know that there's Casey Barrett's going to do that. I know Anthony's not the last person he sponsors. And some of these other companies, hey, if you're out there and you're listening and you are in a position where you can help some of these athletes, give back. You know, give back to some of these athletes. Help them, you know, achieve some of their dreams. And you're going to be paid, you know, repaid tenfold for it. So I think this is great. What Anthony has done, I follow him. He's a friend of mine. I think what he's done is great. He has to be creative. And there's not many characters on the U.S. team that are more creative than Anthony is.
Yeah, and I think what he's done is great. Now, you talk about supporting the swimmers, and I think it's an interesting concept at the national, the NGB level, because it seems that there's a real gap at where it's needed most. And I've never understood why this is, but I don't pretend to understand everything that goes on at the highest levels of the sport and the corporate end of things. But we have it set up to where, okay, if you have the junior team, there are random meets. I shouldn't say random. There are selected meets that USA Swimming will send a junior team to. And of course, they pay for all the expenses and such. And that's great. It gives those kids experience. And we need that if we're going to be developing Olympic champions and international stars who can win medals on the big stages, you know, World Championships, Pan Pacs, the Olympic Games, things like that. But then from there, you have to be at the top to get money. And it's not that much money. It's enough that, yeah, you can make a living. If you stay local, only go to the big meets and stuff like that, you know, you can make a living. God forbid you have a family, but if you're just swimming on your own, you don't need much, you know, you can get along, you know, with the basics, which most of us, you know, are plenty happy with. If you're at the top, you can make a bit of a living with the stipend that you get from USA Swimming. But if you're on the cusp, or say you're a rising star, or you're not quite there yet, or you're a college athlete who had a great college career, and now you're ready to focus long course and really take it to the international stage, you have no support. Maybe you're being well received at all the meets, and you're doing great on the Grand Prix level, or perhaps the World Cup meets and things like that. But unless you make that international team and you're the top two in your event, you're not getting any support. And it seems to me that's where it's needed most. And I'm not saying USA Swimming should just go throw money around at the people who are, you know, the top 10 Americans in each event or anything. I'm not. But if you were to say, okay, we'll take, you know, this number of meets, we'll select from here. People can who have interest to go to these meets can submit their interest letters, and we can select people who aren't on the national team, but we can support them, pay for their meets, pay, you know, do things more than just say, okay, well, now that you're at the top, we'll start giving you a little money. That doesn't bode well for a long-term strategy of supporting your top athletes, the people who are making the NGB money. It doesn't do the job. Because what you have is, now you have athletes who, okay, you're going to get your $3,000 a month until the next selection meet. But if you don't make that, if you're one spot out, and you get third, and you don't make that, well, then we're taking your funding. We're taking your health insurance. You're back at the bottom. That doesn't do much to support long-term success, because you're essentially telling swimmers, and we know Michael Phelps is a great example, having been to the Olympics, you know, four Olympics, it's not a flash in the pan. You know, swimmers are good for more than one meet, but God forbid you have an off swim. You have an off meet, because now you don't get any funding, and now you have to go figure out how you're going to even keep swimming, let alone at a high level, because now what was your job, you've essentially been fired, and you have to get your job back, but at the same time, you have to go get another job to try to fight for your place, and it's a vicious cycle. And I think with the amount of money that the governing body has, again, I'm not saying jump in and start paying everybody six figures and let's do it. You know, that'd be great, not going to happen. But let's start small, and when that starts paying dividends, we can start growing the sport, long-term success, and we won't have to have athletes selling, you know, their songwriting skills and phone calls just to fund their way to swim meets.
This should be an embarrassment to USA Swimming. You know, as they accumulate money in their bank account, we have swimmers who are actually having to go sing for money. It almost sounds like that person who sits on the street corner, you know, with a guitar, you know, with a guitar in hand and singing, and they have the little guitar case and you're putting dollars in as you go by. That's what our swimmers are doing. And how does that sound? How does that make any sense?
It's certainly not the shining moment for the sport, that's for sure. But at the same time, I don't want to take anything away from Anthony, because I think, you know, I think it's great that he's creative enough to get to do this. And, you know, going into the Olympics, athletes were selling, you know, temporary tattoos on their arms on eBay to make some money. And people think, well, that's just, you know, that's ridiculous that they have to do that, and that's embarrassing. Well, you know what? You can call it what you want, but these are athletes who are doing what they have to do to compete. And I'm proud of them, and more power to them, and more power to Anthony. And last I checked, he had almost like $9,000 toward his $10,000 goal. So, to everybody who's supporting swimmers and who has donated to Anthony and other swimmers so they can, pursue their dreams, I thank you for that, because we get to see a great story like Anthony Irvin out there continuing to compete and doing great things, not just for himself, but for the sport. So,
It's not embarrassing for the athlete. I think it's embarrassing for the governing body. Now, I've been one – look, let's go back to me being from South America. I think that athletes from South American countries put way too much emphasis on the government paying for everything. Okay, I hear it all the time. I go back and it's just like, oh, the government doesn't pay me this. The government doesn't – and the government being the sports entity of the government. And I'm like, well, go out and reach out to the private sector and see what you can do there. Don't rely on the government, because this has been the story for the last 100 years. The government doesn't do this. The government doesn't. So go out and reach out to the public sector or the private sector and see what you can come up with. I think the same goes for us, but the fact that USA Swimming doesn't facilitate opening those doors for our athletes to be able to explore those options, that's the part that I think is filled with greed. And I'll be the first to say, look, I know I'm going to go to USA Swimming meets. I know I'm going to run into some of the people that we talk about, but that's what makes this country so wonderful. The fact that you can create dialogue, the fact that you can have your opinion and not be afraid to express it. And that's what I think we have here, because creating dialogue will help us create new ideas and will help us, you know, facilitate longer careers for some of the athletes that are currently representing the United States of America. And I think that's really ultimately what it's all about. And it's not about, you know, badgering or hammering these people down until, you know, break them. It's more about getting them to react and getting them to engage and then getting them to agree to move forward for the good of everyone, not just themselves. And I think that's what I think, Nathan, if I can speak for you, I think that's what we're both reaching for.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we want athletes to get their fair share, because it's not right that when you have a group of people who are making an organization a ton of money, that they have to essentially beg for money just to do what they're doing that's making other people a ton of money. And there's so much good in the sport. We just want to see that come all full circle. I know as a person, you get so much out of swimming. I have no doubt about it when I say that swimmers are some of just the most hardworking, caring, you know, complete people that you'll ever meet.
Right.
They are, very few sports, I think, foster that kind of mentality, but swimming is one of them. Responsibility. I mean, it's just great group of people tends to come out of swimming. So there's so much good in the sport. Why not take that all the way to the elite level, and let's support the athletes who are on the international stage, giving our country such a great name. You know, they've made us over the last, you know, decades the number one swimming country in the world. And we just want to see them get their fair share, so they don't have to beg for money, and we can take the sport to the professional level that it deserves. Simple as that. So, lots of things that can be done to further that goal. Lots of things that we can say, you know, over the coming weeks. We definitely will. And, you know, it's a topic that's not going to end, because it's something that it's not a perfect process. Never will be. But, you know, baby steps.
That's correct.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have run out of time for today. We hope you'll join us again next week back here at Off the Wall on Swimming World Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great week.